This is an Open Talk Radio 313 The Flash production.
Welcome to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. I'm your host, the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruz, and I'm here with my co-host, my best buddy in the world, Greg the Mark. What's going on, brother?
Good evening, Day-Day.
How's it going?
Man, it's going great. I'm so excited for this evening, man. This is, Shogun, great interview, very exciting, but tonight's guest, man, I'm even more excited about. This guy is a cornerstone of not only Michigan independent wrestling, but wrestling, period. You know, second-generation legend, DBA. I'm really, really excited for tonight's interview.
I mean, brother, you keep on bringing these great interviews onto the show since you've gotten here, man. You're kind of making the Southwest Texan look kind of rusty here, man. Will you let me have a turn? No, but if you don't mind, before we get on with our guest, man, to talk about week's Pro Wrestling All-Star Show, man, that went on. What a great show it was. Summer of Champions. What a night. What a night.
So I will eat a little bit of humble pie and admit all the titles didn't change hands. But the Dread King prevailed. It is Dread King's Kingdom in Pro Wrestling All-Stars, and he is the man to beat, and good luck with that.
I agree with you. You did say that. And King Logan will be on the show, guys, later on down the road. But, yeah, Dread King Logan won the PWAS World Heavyweight Championship on Friday at Summer of Champions. Capital Vices, they won by disqualifications, which I believe that down the road they
Elijah
will be down
Magic.
The road coming back.
So, I wish Elijah Magic would call in right now so I could remind him how much heat he has with me for fucking that up. All he had to do was shut his mouth. Justice was done. All wrongs were made right. But this guy had to wake up from a right hook and, you know, reverse the decision. It went from a Capital Vices championship win to a disqualification win, which, I mean,
titles doesn't change
well
on disqualification.
With the Capital Vices.
Yes, man. I'm telling you, Greg, it was such a great show, though. Tanner Nick said that he'll be back on the show, too, pretty soon. Still, and I told you it would happen, your PWAS Cruiser Core Champion. I told you that would happen.
For our listeners, they might not have caught the highlights or seen the show. Again, I'll eat the humble pie. Tanner Nick pins Atlas Hightower clean. Mind you, persevering over the interference of, you know, threat leader Steven Rivera, unbelievable. Kudos to Tanner Nix, and now he can start this reign to, you know, possibly proclaim himself the greatest Cruiser Core champion of all time. Beating the greatest Cruiser Core champion of all time in the middle of the ring, 1, 2, 3, a hell of a start.
That says something. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I know Atlas, you know what I'm saying? That's my boy. Shout out to Atlas Hightower and Run This Ring. But, man, you got to give a props to Tanner Nix. And I said it to Tanner Nix last week that it would be a hard fight, but he prevailed as champion. He's still champion. But, man.
And did you see in Atlas's eyes the doubt? The he's finally, you know, Atlas Hightower is a very intelligent individual, and he knows who cost him the Cruiser Core Championship last Friday night, and it was very clear in his eyes, and he even considered, you know, giving the business to Mr. Rivera. But, dude, how about them boots, bro? The sweetest wrestling boots I've ever seen in my life. They're black J's with red Jumpmans on them. Wrestling boots.
Yes.
Baddest wrestling boots in the history of wrestling. Fight me.
Them fucking boots were awesome. Them boots were fucking awesome. I've seen them, and we both seen them at the same time. We're gonna have the footage out there soon, guys, so don't worry about that. That's going to be prevailed soon.
This guy's posing in the ring. I'm trying to take pictures of his boots.
Jesus Christ. But, yeah, man, it was a great night that night. And then we got to hang out with Capital Vices for a little bit. And let me tell you, what a crazy night, because we were going to go to Booker's Grill. I'm sorry that you couldn't make it, brother. I wish you would have, man, because that would have been so much better.
Dude, but my man had to save some woman's life. She's hanging off, like, her car is in a 45-degree angle on the freeway and the wall. Dead serious. They had to save this woman's life, pull her out of her car. How they went to that?
Dude, that shit was crazy. Wow. It was crazy. But, yeah, that was all wild.
At the hotel, some dude had some side chick there, and baby mama showed up, and he Facebook Live some of that insanity. Man, crazy night last Friday night.
Crazy night, and we're going to have another one soon, brother, so we're going to hopefully all do it together this time.
This Friday night,
awesome,
at the Knights of Columbus, there's going to be another pretty awesome Pro Wrestling All-Stars show.
Oh, yeah, Knights of Columbus this Friday night, guys, on Michigan and Larkins in Southwest Detroit. Don't forget about that show, and you can always bring your kids because it's a family-friendly show. You get to meet all your favorite wrestlers. You get to meet all your favorite champions. And, you know, just come out and support. That's all it is. It's $5 admission. That's all it is to get a great show. If you love pro wrestling, it's cheap. So bring your kids, bring yourself. If you love wrestling,
man, they got a family pack
in
for $30, man. $30 for 30 two
bucks.
Kids and two adults.
So, yeah, that's not a bad idea, you guys. If you guys ain't doing on Friday night, come out tonight to Columbus, Michigan, and Larkins, Southwest Detroit. Meet all your favorite pro wrestling all-star wrestlers. Meet all your pro wrestling all-star champions. And just come out and meet some good friends, because that's what it's about.
And Horror Slam had an awesome show last weekend, and another huge show, which we'll talk about here shortly with the Godfather. XICW had a hell of a show with some serious surprise shocks. The Suplex Shogun Jackson Stone finally defeated in his, you know, 2-year reign by the Dread King Logan.
Dread King was dripping in gold. You know what we should start calling him? The Dread King Glogan.
Absolutely.
Or the Drip
the
King.
King's
or the Drip King Glogan. The Drip King Logan. Drip King Glogan.
The Belt King Logan.
Dude, that would be something funny. We should let him know that, man. But, yeah, Dread King Logan was dripping in gold this weekend. Jesus Christ. I mean, at PWAS on Fridays and X-Side defeating Shogun, which Shogun had that title for how many days was that, Greg?
Oh, my gosh. It was, I believe, just over 2 years, because when we talked to him, it was right around 700 days, I believe.
Right. That's right. That's correct. Yeah. But, man, XI got another show coming up in 2 weeks also on September the 6th. They're going to have another great show.
Yeah, the Sweet Daddy Memorial show that was moved.
Yeah, it's going to be a hell of a show, because if you don't, man, they got a surprise, and they got Impact Wrestler Rhino that's going to be there. They're going to have Capital Vices. My boy Capital Vices are going to be in the house also that show. And TKW, let me tell you, they're going to have a show too. They're going to have a killer show.
Because you can't teach that at that show. They're going to have Enzo Amore there. So, and my boys Capital Vice, my boy Capital Vice is going to be all through the whole show, all the shows this weekend, or that weekend. Dude, it's going to be a jam-packed weekend that weekend also.
Yes, absolutely. And then we got Horror Slam running again. I believe it's September the 13th.
Yep, that's correct. And they got Eric Ryan coming out. They're going to have like three death matches, I'm pretty sure. I think that they're going to have three death matches. And Rachel will let you guys know on Facebook more as the time comes. So if you're if you're thirsty for some death match and some blood, you go to Horror Slam. You know that's where you get your fix of the blood. And they're gonna have a Hellfire show on the 13th. There you go. You can't teach that at all. You can't teach that at all. So man, like I said, the 13th for Horror Slam, and before then you're gonna have TKW, you're gonna have XI, you're gonna have much more. If you love pro wrestling, man, that's the weekend you want to go. If you want to meet any of your favorite wrestlers from any of the promotions and the special people that are gonna be there too, man, just make your way out that weekend. Just make sure you have a clear schedule and some hungry bellies, because most of them are gonna have food. So make sure.
That's right. XICW is actually by invitation only, and I needed so many tickets. I needed like 10, and the number was unclear. Like, is he going? Is he not going?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I missed out on the tickets. Uh-oh. I wonder what that could mean.
Guys, that means, you know what that means. Greg, why don't you introduce our guest for tonight, the godfather of Michigan independent wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, our super special guest tonight is the godfather of Michigan independent wrestling. He was the CAPW Junior Heavyweight Champion. He was a three-time CAPW Tag Team Champion, two-time IWF Champion. He is the reigning XICW Tag Team Champion for the 12th time.
A second-generation Midwest Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, he was the Midwest Heavyweight Champion. He was the XICW Heavyweight Champion twice. He reproduced the best wrestler on the fucking planet. He has been the Downriver Champion for, God, 200 years. He's the oldest man who ever lived, and the wrestler most likely to stab you and your favorite wrestler, the Godfather.
Wait, didn't you have to use your
card?
Didn't you have to use your little stab free auto card?
I did. I used my stab pass to get this interview, actually. So I might have just blew it. I might be getting stabbed here next month.
You're still going to get stabbed.
I'd like to welcome the promoter of the longest-running independent promotion in the state of Michigan's history, Malcolm Monroe, Jr., the DBA.
DBA,
hey,
welcome to the show.
Doing?
Welcome to Rated R Wrestling Podcast.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. No,
man,
thank you for taking the time and taking the invitation to come out.
Oh, thanks for the invite, Greg. I really appreciate it. But, yeah, you still get to use your stab out of free card.
Man, I was sweating over here. Man, hey, dude, he's the toughest guy you'll ever meet. But every day he posts something inspirational, like from the heart, every day. And just so you know, I'm sure that motivates a lot of people, and I see it every day, and it means a lot to me to see it, man. And I just, so many hats you wear. You are such an interesting individual and such an important part of wrestling, period, and integral to Michigan independent pro wrestling. I mean, you are the pinnacle. You're where everybody wants to be.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. And to be honest, I'm honored and humbled by that. By everybody wants to be at XICW, and I didn't realize that until this past weekend at the house party, how many new guys have been striving to work for XICW. Until after that show, when I seen three different posts from guys about how it always been a dream of theirs to work in XICW, and that's really honoring and humbling, bro.
Yeah, Justin Pilgrim told me that personally a year ago when I said, man, I'd love to see you on Wrestling with a Vet. He said, man, that is one of my goals in my dream to work at XICW.
Yeah, man, like I said, I didn't know guys really felt that way until this past weekend, and that's great. That shows all the hard work that I put into XICW. If guys strive to be there, then that shows I'm doing something right.
Hey, you said, man,
true.
I missed getting tickets because I messed around too long. I needed so many tickets and didn't know, you know, is this person going? Are you bringing an extra one? And then I see it sold out. I'm like, oh, there goes that. There's no 10 to get
bro, you know, you got my personal number. You know, you could have called me and I could have slid you in.
With 10 people?
Of course,
could you
split
10 of us in?
I'm the godfather.
Oh, my
I can
God.
Do whatever
now
I
feel
want.
Stupid.
That's
man.
Funny.
Man. Man, it's nice to have
I would love
to
go. We're gonna for sure go to the next one. For sure.
All right, that's cool.
Yeah, man.
We got a lot of good stuff planned.
Oh, yeah. I remember when I met you at Horror Slam last year when you were going to fight that security guard that night.
Oh, man, so you met me on my bad night, huh?
Yeah. But before that, we were cool. We were smoking. We were drinking. We were chilling. Before that.
Okay.
Yeah, and let me say for the record, that was the night that we found out Nick fucking Gage fears DBA. That's right.
Yo, I said it.
I have the video of it
that to
prove it. Nick Gage fears DBA, and I have video evidence of
such.
I'm not even going to talk about that, man, but Nick is a good guy,
right
now,
man. That laugh tells it all. That laugh tells the whole story. I remember I was recording that night. I was recording the whole thing right there ringside. I remember, man, that shit was wild. He ran from me. He went backstage. No disrespect to getting Nick Gage, but, you know, but he had it coming.
In his defense, and I'm going to be real about it, in his defense, he didn't know shit about it. He didn't know it was happening. The promoter didn't fucking tell him that I was cutting the promo. So he didn't know. So in his defense, I probably would have did the same thing. Wait till the guy got in the back and was like, what the fuck was that all about? You know, so
yeah.
I'm not saying he was.
Yeah, but he hit you with a bundle of light tubes and ran.
Yeah,
he didn't do that.
He
hit you with a bundle of light tubes and ran.
Yep.
I'm just saying,
I stood there and took it like a champ because I am the godfather.
Man, you turned around and chased him to the back. He ran.
Hell yeah.
We turned around and chased him. He ran.
That was funny.
Man,
I was like, man.
Stop saying that about that man. Stop saying that. Let the video.
Well,
I don't care to go.
What happened to the security guard then? We'll switch the gears to the security guy. What happened with that?
If I can recall, I was a little buzzed because I was hyped about my promo. So I came in already on level 10. You know what I'm saying? I came to the show on level 10, ready to get a little higher because I was doing a promo on Nick Gage. You know, everybody been talking about Nick Gage and they want DBA and Nick Gage. So I was preparing myself. Then you get this little punk-ass security guard trying to make me sit down or whatever he was doing. I think, he told me to sit down in my seat or some shit.
He told you you couldn't stand on the chair.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
You
told him he could not cut his promo standing on the chair.
So, and then he touched me. And that one thing I don't like is a motherfucker to touch me. So that's when it was on, and he was about to get his ass whooped.
I remember that shit. You went outside, and Malcolm was – everybody was out there. I remember the whole night. I remember the whole thing. That shit was fucking crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. Like I said, I was already on level 10 already that night, so somebody was going to get fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Can I talk like that?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Rated
this is
a rated
R wrestling podcast.
This is rated R.
Okay, because I know that
and
I
this
said
is
fuck
your
about
time,
three
sir.
Times and y'all ain't said nothing.
Oh, this is your time, sir. You say whatever you
this
like.
This is your time. You say you do whatever you want.
Oh, okay. Well, I do that anyway, but I just want to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to get sad. So, yeah, time is yours. I don't want to get sad.
Okay.
I ain't got the red card.
Yeah,
I
don't
want to
aerate it either. That card could be pulled. That card is a matter of perspective.
There you go.
So, coming up, we have a show dedicated to your father, another legend and absolute, you know, gem to this Michigan independent wrestling scene that we have, Sweet Daddy Malcolm Monroe. It's always a great show. This is a show that was moved from Lincoln Park. You know, it's going to be in the Lincoln Park Community Center, and it's been moved to the house party location. You know, would you like to talk about that some?
Yeah, you know, the first one was in Lincoln Park last June, and then the second one, I decided I wanted to do it every year to show respect to the two men that brought me into the business, the Sheik and my dad, Sweet Daddy Malcolm Monroe. So we couldn't do it in Lincoln Park this year because of the pandemic, and I was sitting around thinking recently, I was like, man, maybe we should turn one of the house parties into the memorial show, and bam, there you have it, September the 6th, invite only, XICW.
Man, and I heard that there's going to be a special match. There's going to be a two-ring battle royal.
Oh, yeah, to show respect to the Sheik. You know, he did a two-ring battle royal back in 1976, I think it was. And to show respect to him, I'm bringing that back for the first time since then. I don't think no other promotion has ever done a two-ring battle royal. And we're going to try to do something unique with that.
Nice, man. I can't wait.
Can we expect
a
return of the Sweet Daddy Malcolm Monroe Memorial Cup? I love that match. That is my favorite match ever. And I've only been around for, I think, two of them. Last year we didn't have one, but I love it. The first one I seen was won by MM3, and Jamie Cox won the next one.
Yeah, I remember last year was my first show.
Yeah, hey, we haven't been doing the Sweet Daddy match either recently. You know, but like I said, the pandemic slowed us down and it canceled a lot of things. But, you know, hopefully we'll get everything back and running in 2021.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
We have a 20th anniversary coming up, eh?
20th anniversary, 300th show. That'll be in October. I'm pretty excited about that, man. If you would have said to me 20 years ago,
these are things I've been excited about for a year.
That I was going to start my own company, and 20 years later, it'll be the number one promotion in the state of Michigan. If you would have told me that I would run a promotion that would surpass big time wrestling history, I would slap the shit out of you if you would have told me that shit 20 years ago, because I wouldn't expect it.
And also, you're the only promotion you're the only Michigan indie promotion to run in the Cobo.
Yes, sir. Since the Sheik, and I was the first Michigan indie promotion to do it, and also I was the first black guy to ever do it in that building that was created by a racist. So that made me feel good. That made me feel fucking great. That made me feel great to run a fucking show in the building of a racist. Boy, that felt so fucking good.
Oh, yeah. Kudos to you, man. You deserve it. And you deserve the bask and all that glory, man, because, man, like I said, XI, my first XI show was last year at the Michigan or at the Lincoln Park Center at the show. And it was, man, it was such a great show. And I'm hooked. I was hooked, but I couldn't go to none of the shows after that. But I can't wait to go to the next one.
All right, yeah, man. You've been missing a lot of good shit then if you ain't been in a while.
Yeah,
that's why I'm just going to pick him up and start bringing him,
man. I'm not going to deny it.
That's what I told him. I'm just going to start coming out there and picking you up and taking you with us, dude. Yeah, no excuse not to go. But I'm coming.
No, definitely
not. We'll be there. Day-Day will be there with us.
Because y'all see my man Rhino coming back home on the 6th.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that, and so are Capital Vices. They're going to make their debuts, too.
Yeah, and they're going to make a debut with my foot up their ass, too. I got
to... Oh, so are they going to debut against the Fun Loving Criminals?
I don't know yet. The booking committee is talking, and yeah, I've been talking to my committee, telling them I kind of want that match because I owe them an ass kicking from the last show. But we'll see in the next couple of days. I think the matches will be coming out.
Awesome.
Okay,
that's always
okay.
Exciting. Another homage you've paid, the United States Championship. I love that belt, and I love what you guys have done with it. It's all of your belts are always prestigious. They always have been, each in their own way. And this one, to me, is special, and it symbolizes a lot, and it's, you know, another sign of respect that you've given to, you know, paying homage to those who paved the way before you.
Exactly, man, and that's what it's all about, paying respect and paying homage to the people that came before me. You know, the Sheik started training me when I was 16 years old in his backyard, you know, when me and my dad used to go up to the house. And then my dad finished, you know, was training me until I went into the Air Force. So I had to show respect to the two men that brought me into the game.
Most definitely. That's great. And, man, and you've been in the game for a long time, and you wrestled a lot of people. Like, man, I can't – like Malcolm also, like your son also, he's a great talent. And I know him personally, and we get along, and hopefully we get both of you guys on because we had a little challenge laid out from LAX from you guys too, from Hernandez.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He said LAX. Versus the Monroe,
LAX
fans bring
the
weapons.
He said that a few months ago
fans
on the show.
Fans bring the weapons. Because I told him DBA is undefeated in fans bring the weapons. And he said, I want LAX versus the Monroes. Fans bring the weapons.
Yes, he did.
I never seen Hernandez in a hardcore match before. But, hey, if he wants some, he can come get some. I can have my son. We can put our shit aside, and we can give LAX a little run for their money if they want some of this.
Well, man, hopefully a little sooner down the road, maybe after a few shows, I'll get Hernandez on the line, and we'll get both you guys on line, or maybe all four of you guys.
Hey, that's fine with me, whatever you want, you know. You can get us on the line together. You can get Malcolm in there with us. You can get whoever they want from LAX on the phone. If they woke, sleep, I don't give a fuck. Get them on the phone. We can set this up sometime, whenever, in the near future. Because I don't take challenges lightly. And Hernandez, if you're listening, you got your challenge is motherfucking accepted because I'm 29-0-1 and fans bring the weapons. And after I kick your ass, I'm gonna be 30 or 31-0 because I might have one in between there. So, like Mike Tyson gonna whoop Roy Jones' ass, I'm gonna beat Hernandez and LAX ass. Bring it on.
There we go. The challenge was accepted. Hernandez and LAX. On the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, you got it.
The one draw
we'll be setting that up.
Is the partner they're calling out, just, you know, for the record. 29-0-1 draw, that was with MM3. So, fans bring the weapons. I mean, it's got to favor the Monroes.
Of course it got to favor the Monroes, especially if I'm in there. I've been in there with some of the toughest motherfuckers over the past 24 years, and fans bring the weapons. And I have came out on top at each and every one of them. So it's going to have to be a bad motherfucker to knock me off my block.
Oh, yeah, most definitely,
How long have you been the Downriver champion now?
I don't know, 2 years maybe? You know, I was the other promotion champion for like 100 years. But, man, you must have – what did you do? You Googled me before I called in or something? Because you brought up titles that I didn't even remember I had.
Come on, man. I had to do my homework. I know you, but I have enough respect for you that you're goddamn right I did my homework. This is the Godfather.
Man.
This is a big deal.
That's what we do here on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. We do our homework.
When you brought up CAPW light heavyweight champion, I was like, man, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yes. If you brought back memories when you start introducing me, I'm like, man, I need to take Greg on the road with me to introduce me.
Speaking of the wrestler, I told you one time my first favorite wrestler was Tommy Rich, Wildfire Tommy Rich. That's how long my old ass has been a fan. And, I mean, I was a little Hulkamaniac growing up, but first. And he told me, man, I used to ride up and down the road with Tommy Rich.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Tommy was my mentor when we used to do the Ohio Loops with Cleveland All Pro. Tommy was my mentor. We used to get a room together and hung out together. Yeah, I love Tommy Rich, man. Actually, he gave me a pair of tights that he used to wear back in the day when he was doing tag matches. I forgot who he said he used to tag with. It was somebody known, and it was way back in the day, and he gave me those tights.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, Tommy Rich was the man. Tommy Rich is the man.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, he was beefing with Buzz Sawyer when I became a wrestling fan. I was literally 2-3 years old, and I actually remember these things. But I remember Buzz Sawyer in the wearing the wrestling headgear because he got shaved, lost his hair.
Yeah, those were the good old days.
So, yeah, and 12-time Extreme Intense champion. That match, that title, that division definitely favors your strengths.
Yes, it does. But what your stat sheet doesn't say is I was the first man to unify the XICW heavyweight title and it was the XICW Intense Championship, and then there was the Extreme title. I was the man that unified that title.
I did not know that. And so what was the XICW heavyweight title? Because I don't really, after around 2001, I think it was, I didn't see any history on it. Was that unified as well?
No. We retired that belt because Yukon Braxton, God rest his soul, was our champion at the time, and he passed away. And I was that guy was about to be on TV, and I was going to make sure of that. He was the next big thing around. And once he passed away, I had got a hole in my heart, and I was like, I don't want nobody else to hold that title. So we retired that title, and that's when we came up with the Intense Heavyweight Champion.
Okay.
Interesting. See, fun story time with DBA. And this guy, man, he could tell us history for days. This guy wrestled Moses.
Yeah, I sure did, and I beat his ass, and I took his money.
He told me Moses still owes him a nickel, and he didn't sign his yearbook.
I sure did tell him that.
So, you are responsible for reproducing the best wrestler on the fucking planet, The Process, MM3.
The Process.
So, do you attribute that to good genes or good training coming up?
Well, no, he was trained by Truth Martini. That was one of the things that I learned from my dad, because my dad didn't train me. I was trained by Denny Cass. You know, my dad, trained me when I was younger, but, once I got out of the military and got really trained, he had me go to his school, and I was trained by somebody else. So I felt the same way. I'm not a good trainer, and I didn't want my son to fall underneath that. So I wanted him to go to somebody else. And Truth Martini was running the best school around, and Truth been around Malcolm since he was born. So where else would I send him? I would have sent him to the House of Truth, of course.
Absolutely. Man, quite a list of alumni coming out of the House of Truth, which I find out more all the time. Like, oh my gosh, he was there too.
everybody.
Yeah, back in the day, the House of Truth was like the farm system for XICW. When guys would graduate from the House of Truth, they would come to XICW and help out. That was built into their brain by Truth. Go help people, get your face out on shows. And that's how a lot of guys, got booked in next ICW, you know, like the Scarbonis, Jeff Brooks, all of them came from the House of Truth, and they worked their way up. They came to help out, and that's the way Truth taught those guys back then. And like I said, House of Truth was a farming system for XICW. So I give House of Truth a lot of credit for helping XICW build.
Wow! Yeah.
Wow!
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's most definitely lost that.
Yeah, the heart and emotion of XICW, it's second to none, man. The atmosphere, the environment, the fans, the action, it's definitely second to none. It's definitely the top promotion. And me as a guy that, you know, frequents local promotion, and I appreciate good wrestling and good storytelling wrestling and good storytelling, you know, in stories that make you want to come back month to month. And XICW is definitely where it's at.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. I really do. That means a lot to me.
So why don't you tell us the story about the Flaming Elbow?
Which one?
The genesis.
How did it come about?
And who did you run that idea by?
Yeah, how did you come about with the Flaming Elbow?
All right, well, my dad did the big bionic elbow out of the corner. You know, the guy's laying down in the middle of the ring. My dad runs from the corner, hitting with the big elbow. Boom, one, two, three. So I decided back in my crazy days coming up shit, you know, I used to be a fireman in the fucking Air Force Reserve. So I had no problem with fire. So I was like, yo, my dad, I came up with this new finisher I want to do. I was like, I want to take my elbow, set it on fire, and jump from the top rope. Boom! He was like, man, you crazy. You talking about setting yourself on fire? I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, you crazy.
Jesus,
I ran that idea by my dad. I read it by my dad, and I took his move, and, you know, I escalated it. So I give the Flaming Elbow credit to my dad.
Okay, okay. Man, because I, like I said, I seen you do that one time. I forgot when it was. It was at one of the indie promotions. But
it
yeah,
never
I
gets old. I mark out every time, even when I'm booing him.
Hey, I do too. That's what I'm
Let me tell you a Flaming Elbow story. We was doing a show in Wyandotte. We was doing a show in Wyandotte in this bar or whatever. And I think the guy was the cook or whatever. He never seen wrestling before, or he might have been the bartender. And he was walking by as I did the Flaming Elbow, and he texts one of his friends, right? He's like, holy shit, this fucking guy just did a Flaming Elbow. The friend was a friend of mine. The guy texts me. He was like, Malcolm, is you at a wrestling show in Wyandotte? I was like, fuck yeah, how you know? He was like, my friend just texted me about a guy doing the Flaming Elbow, and I knew it was your crazy ass.
Small world.
Jesus. So how long before you got into the game did you know you wanted to be a wrestler?
Shit. I think I knew it from when I was younger, man, because, you know, my dad was wrestling when I was born. You know, he had started back in the 70s, so it's always been in my blood. So I guess since I was born, I knew I was going to do it. I ain't one of those guys that be like, oh, I knew I wanted to be a champion at the age of 9. No, none of that bullshit. Mine's is true. It's in my blood. My dad was wrestling when I was born. I was a wrestler when my son was born. It's in our blood. So it ain't no time frame of when did you know you wanted to be a wrestler. It's, you know, it's when you became a wrestler. You already knew it from day one.
Okay.
Yeah, and we've seen a little bit of taste of the next, I mean, you can't call it generation, but Caden Monroe, we've seen a little from him, and man, in 5-10 years, he's going to be the one we're talking about, and the one that, you know, he's going to be the next big interview.
Yeah,
yeah,
he is,
sure.
You know.
Because it's in his blood,
yeah,
Caden, too.
Yeah, it's in his blood, and he's been going to the House of Truth, you know, every now and then. You know, so that's where he's learning his stuff from. But, yeah, he's going to be the next thing, too, and I can't wait, to see him and Malcolm's career progress.
Absolutely. So are there any wrestlers when you were developing the DBA character that you tried to emulate aside from your father and the Sheik?
No. See, when I first came in, me and my dad sat down, and he asked me, what did I want to do? And I was like, no disrespect, but I want to go down my own path. I don't want to be Malcolm Monroe Jr. Even though everybody always called me Junior and all of that, I was like, I don't want to go down that path. I want to build something on my own. And my dad came up with the name DBA, and I just found out a couple of months ago that A.T. Huck was the one that came up with what DBA stands for. And so we sat down and did that, and we wanted to start me off under a mask so nobody knew that I was Malcolm Monroe Jr., you know, because like I said, we didn't want to go down that path. So my dad had me under the hood for like 6 months before anybody knew who I was, you know, because at that time I was doing security, and then I was running backstage like I was Superman and shit, putting on my DBA costume, fucking go out there, wrestle, go back, take it off, and go back to doing security, you know, and nobody knew. So, and then DBA just developed over the years as who I am, you know. I am DBA. That's my personality, so that's how the character came about.
Yeah, and some people less familiar with, you know, Midwest independent wrestling see DBA and think that, you know, he's a New Jack ripoff. And for the record, DBA was wearing the camouflage before New Jack.
I had to point that. I had to stop in the middle of a match, bro, to explain. I sat down in the middle of a match and explained that conversation to a fan because they kept yelling New Jack at me, and it kept irritating me. And I had to sit down and explain the New Jack situation to them. Number one, me and New Jack are close friends. We're like brothers. Number two, we was a tag team. So do you think if I showed any disrespect to him, you know, before that, do you think he would be a tag team partner and the best friend of mine? No. Number three, I had my ECW tryout match in camouflage. So do you honestly think, and I could have got a job that fucking night. So do you honestly think I could have been in ECW in a tryout match in their ring with camouflage on if somebody was wearing it? The Dudleys was wearing tie-dye at the time. New Jack was wearing all black at the time. I was the only motherfucker in wrestling wearing camouflage at the time. So, and the reason I started wearing camouflage is because I was wearing it in the United States Air Force from 1992 to 1995. Due to research, they was not wearing camouflage in 95. You know, so, and yeah, people compare me to that, and it really gets on my fucking nerves, and I had to sit down and get them a history lesson because those type of fans are the ones that only believe what they see on TV. You know what I'm saying? They seen New Jack wear camouflage. They seen the Dudleys wear camouflage. So they had to be the ones that come up with it. No, that's bullshit. You know? So that's what irritates me the most. I was wearing camouflage before any of them was wearing it, and I didn't steal shit from nobody.
When Moses and them were wearing cloaks and shit, he was wearing camouflage pants.
Exactly.
Straight up. So you got to tell us this ECW tryout story.
Me and my dad was going to ECW to hang out with Sabu at the time.
What year?
And May of 1999. May of 1999, right before they was getting ready to be bought and all of that shit. It was a lot of fucking bad check writing and all that shit back then or whatever. So we was pulling up, and Sabu was outside walking his dog, and he asked me, did I bring my gear? And I said, of course. I was taught to fucking travel with my gear. He's like, go get it. So a couple of weeks before that, I had wrestled Blue World Order, Supernova and Blue Meanie. So they already knew who I was. So when I got in the ring when they was doing their tryouts or whatever, it was them two, Little Guido, Big Sal, and it was a couple of other people I can't remember that I had to work out with. And since me and Nova had already did, we were supposed to do 15-minute match. We end up doing 25 minutes, you know, because we got lost in time. So me and him already had a chemistry, so I got in there with him. Me and him, you know, ran a couple of things. And, you know, I got in there with Lil Guido. We did a couple of little things. And so that night, that was over. The tryout was over with, and they were short some guys. Like I said, they was going through troubles or whatever. And they wanted another guy, a little local guy. So there was Malcolm is here. He did a tryout, blah, 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 blah. I got blocked from doing a match by somebody. And that's why I didn't get the job. I was supposed to wrestle Steve Corino on national TV. He was the heavyweight champion. I was supposed to be in the match with him. And I got blackballed from it, actually. So, yeah. But to be fair, it was an honest mistake, blackball. When they said my name, somebody walked by and they thought I was somebody else that fucking sucked. Because let me finish the story. I found out years later, me and, you know, the referee Pee Wee Moore from ECW?
Yeah.
Okay, me and Pee Wee start hanging out years later after that. And I was telling Pee Wee this ECW story. His eyes got big. And I was like, Pee Wee, what's wrong? He was like, Malcolm, don't kill me. I'm like, what? He was like, I was the one that got you blackballed. I was like, what? He was like, yeah, when they said Malcolm's boy, Pee-wee didn't know me when I was younger. You know, Pee-wee wasn't around then. Pee-wee, it was another guy known as Malcolm's boy back then that hung out with my dad, that my dad trained, and he fucking sucked. But they said that was Malcolm's boy. So when Pee-wee walked by them and heard them say Malcolm's boy, he's like, fuck no, don't let that guy get a fucking match. He fucking sucks, blah, 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 blah. So he mistakenly thought Malcolm's boy was somebody else and it wasn't me. So that's how I got fucked out of the ECW thing. But it's funny in the long run because I wouldn't quit my good job to go follow my dreams to wrestle for ECW. And then look where they at now, and I'm still at this job.
Your check would have probably bounced at that point anyway. If they paid you at all. You'd end up having to stab somebody. It just totally wouldn't have been worth it.
So, yeah, is there anything you want to plug while you're here? Anything you want to plug, like your YouTube channel, like you do your little channel that you eat stuff, that surprise package stuff?
What is that? I think it's XICW Detroit is the YouTube, I think. I'm not in charge of that, so I really don't know. I know they like to put out matches and interviews and, you know, I know like House Party 1 and I think House Party 2 was on there. You know, we want to give our the fans, because it's a select few that we invite. You know, our VIP fans is the ones that get invited to the house party. So the ones that don't make it, we put it on our YouTube channel for them to watch it. You know, but our Facebook is XICW. My personal Facebook is Malcolm Monroe II, you know, with the two little line thingy majiggets. And we're on Twitter. We on IG, you know. Like I said, I'm not computer savvy, so I don't know too much about all of that shit. I will have to have my secretary or whoever call you and give you the information. Or you can just look us up like Greg did, like he Googled me. Just Google XICW and you can find all our stuff right there. But, yeah, you know, we got September the 6th. That's our big two-ring battle royal show. And then October is the 20-year anniversary 300 show. And we got some huge plans for that one that we're working on right now. And we're trying to make Michigan history with that one. We thought we was making history with the two ring battle royal, and then I had to look it up, and my man, the Sheik, done it already. So for the anniversary show in October, we don't have a date yet. I want to make Michigan history with that one, and we're trying to do something special for that.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Hopefully we can be in a large venue at that point.
Man, I don't think, to be honest, you know, realistically, I don't think we're going to get back into a venue until next year, 2021.
Me neither.
You know, so that's just being real. The way stuff is going, the way this fucking virus is fucking up everything, I honestly don't see wrestling being in the building until 2021.
Yeah, sadly, neither do I. It's going to be a long winter without wrestling.
I know, man. That pisses me off that I'm like, damn, October going to be our last show to next year, or can we stretch it to November? But it's going to be probably cold, you know, and then I don't like shutting down. I ran every month until this pandemic happened from October of 2000.
We ran 2 days before.
2 days. We got kicked out of the building as the show was ending because the CDC was making guidelines and stuff. You know, so
literally
we ran
during the show.
We ran
the governor
every
made
month.
The order.
Yeah, during the show, the governor made the order as we was running, and we had to get the hell up out of there. So we have ran since October the 15th, 2000, all the way up into the pandemic, and we took those couple of months off, and that was killing all of us, you know. And to think we got to take the winter off now and wait till, like, March or April to run again, or if the pandemic get better, we got to wait till then. I mean, man, it's crazy. It's frustrating. You know, we never let a storm stop us. We didn't let a flood stop. Well, a flood did stop us. That's the only time that we didn't run is because the building flooded and the parking lot flooded. But other than that, we like the mail service. Rain, sleet, snow, and all that other good shit, XICW run.
Yeah. Actually, DBA threw Noah off the ark.
Oh, wow.
Oh, they didn't even have footage of that. How did you know that? That shouldn't even be on Google. How you know that one?
Man, I know things.
You change your history now, man. You exposing Noah, man. He was supposed to have been the one that brought the animals and all of that shit. Now you done told him, I done threw him off the ark, so now they know it's DBA's ark.
Well, I mean, you know, you didn't have much choice. I mean, it's like, bro, if we can't both be on the boat, you got to go. And, you know. Tossed him over wearing his camouflage pants.
I feel good being
broken
that damn old, bro.
You look damn good for being that old, too.
I survived the test of time.
I think that's why those punches hit so hard. Those hands are like stones.
Really? Hell yeah.
Like petrified wood. Oh yeah, it's always a fun time when DBA is in the ring.
Yeah, man, it is. I like to fight. I like to punch people. I like to get punched, and I think I'm crazy, but hey, it's all in fun.
That's right. So much fun, and it's always a ton of fun at an XICW show, man. They are. You know, never a dull show, ever. You never leave disappointed. Even when
the
situation disappoints. Guys get held up, guys can't show up or don't show up, and you're never – and I don't know if you can remember this. I can tell you the year. It was 2010. I didn't even realize I was – and it's kind of how I found XICW again. Sabu made a surprise appearance. It was – probably March or April, probably March of 2010. And the next show, Sabu was supposed to fight somebody. And I think the match that was put in its place, because Sabu didn't come, I think it was Levi Blue and Necro Butcher. And at the time, Mr. McMahon was the authority figure in XICW.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that right after that, I moved to Tennessee. And when we moved back from Tennessee, we actually drove by the Hot Rocks one day, and or the Ritz as I know it, and there was a sign up from the night before that said wrestling. I'm like, man, they still have them shows there. And that's what got us to look it up and check it out again. And the next show was the Best in Detroit show with Shane Douglas when he won the Extreme Intense Championship from Joe Coleman. And I tell this story, the most impressive things I've seen with Dre Jacobs, but absolutely amazing to me. And the Monroes against the Purge, Jake something, and X Division champion and former Midwest heavyweight champion, Rohit Raju, or as we know him, the Mad Dragon Hakeem Zayn.
That was the night you came back?
That was, yep. That was when we found you guys
Damn.
Again. We've literally been coming ever since.
I broke my foot that night at the end of the match. I remember that
match.
And
the next month was your birthday, right? Cage match, right?
Wait, let me think. I broke my foot on that one show. The next show, I can't think it was what it was. The next show, I think that's when Jake and them went to Impact, wasn't it? They started doing the gut check thing.
No, because it wasn't until October that was the, you know, the blow off was the Monroes versus the Purge at Cobo. I believe it was the first Cobo show.
Cobo show was Abyss and Crazy Steve against the Monroes. We did that at Attack at the Yak.
Attack at the Yak.
That's what it was. Attack at the Yak.
It was the first Attack at the Yak.
So that was what, like, August was that Attack at the Yak, I think it was. That's what it was. Yeah, we took on the Purge then. Because it was one of the Monroes and Jamie Cox and was it Eddie Venom, I think?
Yes.
Against the Purge. Yeah.
Good times.
Yeah, now look at him. He's the X-Division champion now.
And, man, how many X-Division champions have come through XICW?
I don't know, man.
Saban?
A ton of people.
Saban and Shelly.
A lot has come through XICW that's on there now. It makes me proud that I know how to pick talent before they even get exposed.
Yeah, you won the first How Many Wrestling With the Vets? And the first, to me, the biggest future star in, you know, is Trey Miguel.
Yes, sir. Yep. Me and Trey.
And that was the first
two.
Wrestling With a Vet. Was that season one or season two that you won with Trey Miguel?
That was season two.
So who did you win with in season one?
Jay Maynard.
Ah, yes. The PWAS Junior Heavyweight Champion.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, he picked me. I was his pick. I was his number one pick, and yeah, we went all the way to the finals and won it.
And then did you also win the third season?
No, I lost in the third season.
That's when you murdered your partner.
Yeah, that Blake. Because I wasn't even supposed to be in the third season. And it was Dave Chris from OVE. He was Blake's partner. No, third season. I think that's when we did the six-man. I think it was six-man at the time. And I think it was me, Isaiah Broner, and Marcus. Or maybe that was season four. I don't know. All the seasons were
that was,
damn
yeah,
gutted.
That was four.
But, okay, so
because,
yeah.
Was that the Marcus? Yeah, there was the Blake season, and then there was the Marcus Everett season too, right?
Okay.
Or were
they
on the same season?
After those seasons. No, I think that was
yeah,
the season.
Yeah, and then
season.
I think was the sixth man, the Louis Perez and Cyrus Satine one with El Ridiculoso.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, I stopped after, like, season four, I think.
Wrestling
I couldn't take it no more mentally.
Competition.
It's mentally and physically draining, you know, because it's a shoot wrestling tournament to see which veteran and which younger guy to XICW, which team is the best. And it's judged on a point system, and it's mentally draining for us wrestlers because, you know, we're judged and we got to move on. It's so stressful, and that's why I stopped doing it. It got to be too stressful for me. It wasn't fun because I'm trying to win, you know. I'm trying to win, and then losing fucking sucks. So I lost those two seasons, and I was like, man, I can't do this shit no more.
Not as bad as
it
sucks to lose as your partner. Losing as your partner, it seems, sucks a lot more.
Yeah, it could, but I don't know, man. I just think losing
the
competition.
When did it not suck for your partner to lose wrestling with a vet with you? Because I think it sucks for your partner every time because they took quite a beating each time.
Well, that's what happened because I'm competitive. We lose, I blame my partner, and I take it out on him. That's just the way it is.
DBA wins everything.
And then, exactly. So when I lose, it fucking frustrates me and it makes me mad. And I had to beat up poor Blake and had to beat up poor Marcus. But, oh, well, shit happens. I like to win.
Yes, indeed. So for our listeners that might not be familiar, wrestling with a vet pits, you know, usually, you know, 6 or 8 rookies and veterans are paired together. And they, I mean, like you say, it's a real competition. It's a shoot competition. And, you know, it goes on fan reaction as well as how they perform in the ring. And it's so exciting to see and to see these teams and their chemistry build because all these veterans and all these rookies really want to win. XICW is the pinnacle of Midwest independent wrestling. And to win that competition is a big deal. Look at where guys that have won that competition are. Trey Miguel is at Impact. You know, he's a top contender in Impact Wrestling. So, you know, it can be quite a stepping stone, but a lot of these teams form turn into really formidable teams, and you'll know them as teams as much as individuals. And it's really exciting to see play out and to see these teams evolve month after month as the competition goes on. So, are there any plans to finish our season that we were near the end of?
I mean, I was talking to the committee about that last week, and it's kind of hard to get all three teams onto the same show. And then this past house party, all 6 of the guys was at that show, but it was just by coincidence. You know, so we couldn't just take them out of the matches we had them in and throw them in some. You know, Shogun showed up. He wasn't supposed to. He showed up. Sean Tyler, Shogun's partner, he showed up. You know, so we do plan on finishing it out. But like I said, we don't know what's going on. We want to finish it out in the Hot Rocks. But if we have to finish it out at a house party, it will have to be next year because we only got two more house parties left.
And those will be the one in September and the big one in October?
Yeah. Yep, those are the last 2 house parties left.
Man, that's almost saddening to hear. That's it, 2 more opportunities.
Yeah, it is. It is, man. It's very sad. Like I said, we used to grinding every month, you know, and now this pandemic has slowed us down. We found another way to fucking, you know, entertain our fans who's been hungry for XICW. Now we're going to have to fucking cut it off like we a seasonal fucking job or something.
Yeah. It was definitely a Lincoln Park caliber card, you know, or Cobo caliber card you guys had a week ago, man. It was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, it was a great show. We went into the dark, something we haven't done in the previous house parties. People had to pull their cars up and everything for the last 2 matches because it got dark. That's just one thing about XICW. We like to give our fans their money's worth and then some because it was a whole lot of matches, a lot of great matches, and it was way worth more way than what the fans have paid. And like I said, guys even put their health and life in the risk of wrestling in the dark to perform for XICW. And I was one of those guys.
So you want to explain to us how that all transpired in the tag team match? Title for title?
Well, no, it wasn't title for title. Jack Price was on Facebook
your title?
Running. No, it's for the Proving Ground titles.
Okay.
Jack Price went on Facebook and was running his mouth, and he had an open challenge for the Proving Ground titles. And once I saw that video, I called Jamie, and I was like, Jamie, these clowns on Facebook, challenging people, we was the only team to beat them because they were saying Jack Price was on Facebook saying he was unbeaten, they was unbeaten and all of that. But we have beaten those guys for our titles. So I was like, Jamie, why don't we challenge them for the Proving Ground titles since he over there running his mouth? So that's how that came about, that it was for the Proving Ground titles, not the XICW tag titles.
I see. Always, always exciting stuff. And that's a beautiful thing about social media these days, that, you know, it can light fires and, you know, keep fires burning. Like, actually, Tommy Vendetta and Dre Jacobs, you know, started on social media, live on Wrestling Rage. Tommy Vendetta and Dre Jacobs, you know, in the chat. And, you know, that evolved into something, and it became something the fans were dying to see, and something that XICW was happy to give them. And, man, that hype video, when it came out, man, gave me goosebumps for Tommy Vendetta and Dre Jacobs.
Yeah, man, we had to give the people, they kept asking for it. We kept getting messages, when are you going to give us the match? When are you going to give us the match? And they kept, you know, mouthing off to each other on social media. So the committee was like, hey, man, House Party 3, we might as well give them the match that they keep asking for. I wanted to make y'all wait some more, make y'all fucking slob over the match that y'all begging for. But the committee thought it would be best to do it at House Party 3, so I went along with the committee, and it was a great match. Both of them gave it their all. It was a banger.
Yeah, I wouldn't dare disagree with you, but I don't know. So, how can one – so I got, man, probably 6 or 8 sweet DBA shirts, different ones. I got one with a flaming elbow. The fire's all shiny. Where does one go to get one of those, you know, sweet DBA shirts, or one of the, you know, many XICW items of swag you guys offer?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm not computer savvy, so you would have to get DBA merch and XICW merch at a live event right now. Yeah, we don't. Or I don't know if they're still up on Pro Wrestling Tees. We might still have some T-shirts up there. Those are yeah, actually, we do, because somebody told me they bought some. Yeah, Pro Wrestling Tees, you can get we got like 3 or 4 XICW shirts up there. Or like I said, you have to come to a live event to get a DBA shirt.
There you have it. Only at XICW.
Yes, sir.
And DVDs as well, only at this point available at live shows?
Yeah, we have some stuff on Smart Mark Video. We had like a live stream or something on there where you can get a couple. We got some old content on there. But like I said, our newest content will be on our YouTube channel. And I think it's XICW Detroit. If I'm wrong, just look us up somehow. I got the newest content on it. Like I said, you can go to Smart Mark Video and pay for their services. We got some old content on there. Yeah, and the DVDs, we sell them at our XICW shows.
I have a lot of them. I started collecting a lot of the Best of Detroit DVDs from before I was around. And, man, I mean, I've gone through the DVDs. Nicole can tell you a million times. I pretty much know what's there, so I don't really go through them anymore. But I mean, so you'll see Justin Gabriel, main event in XICW, you know, Saban. A lot of great cards and great matches, especially a lot of those old Best in Detroit shows. And then, like, even the Proving Ground episode shows they're really awesome. They, you know, you can – I usually buy the ones, like, that to relive some of those really special nights that were special to me. Or, you know, because you never know.
Yeah,
that's always great.
I miss the Best in Detroit shows. Yeah, I really miss those Best in Detroit shows. Those were some fire shows. That was a nice building, a great atmosphere. Like you said, the wrestlers was from top to bottom was great. And, yeah, I really miss that place. Best in Detroit, those are some great shows.
But hopefully we can get back in some buildings here soon. Man, thank you so much for all your time tonight. I know you're a busy man, a father, a husband, maybe not a husband, but you know what I mean. I mean, you know.
Yeah, don't give me that title.
You're up at the crack of dawn. You're up at the crack of dawn, you know, working. You're a very hardworking man. Works for, you know, serves the public. You're a real stand-up guy, man, and it's an honor to talk with you tonight, and a bigger honor to know you, man. And thank you for everything you do for wrestling and everything you do for humanity. Another thing, you know, this guy does a show every December, Hardcore with a Heart, where it's five canned goods or $5 to get in. The man personally takes gloves to homeless people and socks and cooks them a hot meal. And he literally, I've seen the post on Facebook. Hey, if you know people like where people live under bridges, let me know so I don't miss them. He makes sure any person he knows living out there on the streets gets gloves and socks and a hot meal. And that's the type of man the DBA is. And he will stab you and your favorite wrestler.
Thank you, bro. I appreciate that. Yeah, so... Yeah, now we're not even going to have Hardcore with a Heart this year, so I'm going to have to spend the money out of my pocket to feed the homeless and everything.
Well, figure something out, man. As a wrestling community, we come together real swell. I mean, maybe we can do it early. Maybe we can, you know, get the donations in with another show or something, and, you know, kind of as a side thing. And I think you'd be surprised, man. As a wrestling community, you know, we can really come together.
Yeah, true. We'll figure something out. We got a couple of months, so.
Thank you again so much for your time.
No problem, man. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate y'all for keeping me on the phone for a whole hour. I appreciate that. Y'all taking up my time. I'm just joking. Man, I appreciate y'all, you know, thinking about me to do this interview, man. Like I said, I'm humbled and I'm honored for y'all to even consider to, you know, to have me on the show. So thank you.
You're the godfather, man. We couldn't think of nobody else.
Yeah. Yeah, you're kind of a big deal, brother. You're kind of a big deal.
You are the man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you,
man.
Sir.
We hope to have you on again. Like I said, to lay down that chat, accept that challenge from LAX.
All right, yeah, man, whenever y'all want to, man, we can set it up. Like I said, you can get me and Hernandez on there together. You can get me and Malcolm and Hernandez. You can get whoever he going to have with LAX on there. Do whatever to set it up, man. And we, like I said, we can set up that match for 2021 sometime.
Oh, no doubt, man.
I'm so excited.
You heard it again, yeah.
We could probably set it up. Hey, we could try to set it up for June. You know how they set up boxing matches like months ahead of time? We could set it up. We're doing it right now. Yeah, we could try to set it up for June because that'll be my 25th year in wrestling. Not July, I'm sorry. In July will be my 25th year in anniversary, and would it be a better anniversary to tag with my son and beat LAX ass?
There you go. We'll set it up for June.
25 years going strong.
Special. Right here on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. You heard it, Hernandez. I know you're listening, brother. So we got to get you guys on the line, and it'll be fun.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good night, man. Thanks for having me.
Thank you,
problem,
sir.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right, guys. Well, that
25 years, man. 25 years he's on Undertaker, and he's wrestling at the highest level today, and wrestling at the highest level, the best work he's ever done, he's doing right now, 24 years into his career, man.
24 years in the game, man. It's going to be his 25th year. Guys, you heard it here on the Rated R Wrestling Podcast, guys. We set up another banger. We set up another banger. It's going to be the Monroe versus the LAX. And our fans bring the weapons match July of DBA's 25th anniversary of being in the game. What do you guys think about that? You guys give us a call before we head off the line. Area code 646-668-8672. Also, don't forget to tune in next to the Gorilla Position with Steve Aarons and Macho Ghost themselves. They always have a great deal. They had Kent Shamrock tonight. But, you know, he Ken Shamrock lost his voice, so they're going to go and have him next week. But it's still tune in. It's going to be a great show nonetheless. Only on Open Talk Radio, The Flash 313. It's going to, this was the Southwest Texan Day-Day Cruise. Man, this was a great night. Man, brother, are you ready for next week? We got a great show planned for next week.
Absolutely. I'm excited about that, man. Part two.
Yeah, guys, we
got
We got a return guest, guys. Ian Decay is going to come back. He got the whole lot of other stories to have him brewed up. He got the whole other line of stories to say to us. So next week, Ian Decay is going to return to the Rated R Wrestling Podcast. What do you guys think he's going to say? Who knows? We don't even know. He's just going to bring a whole pot of who knows what.
Man, he's teased some stories. That story time with Ian Decay, man, I am so excited. That was one of the funnest shows we'd ever done. I went into the interview not knowing what to expect, you know, and, man, boy, what a ton of fun that turned out to be, eh?
That's going to be great. I wonder what he's going to say. Or what? You know, like, we didn't even know what he was going to do last show. Who knows what he's going to do this one?
He's excited. He's posted about it. And, yeah.
Dude, he did. I seen it. He posted about it when we made the flyer about it. It's going to be a great night. And I can't wait to have you indicate back on the show. So, I mean, we're going to have to take a big pinch. You guys have got to take a big pinch of salt with what Ian Decay says, because it's real.
No.
And it's rated R, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, you are. Yeah, it definitely won't be for the faint of heart, as they say. It's definitely a rated R wrestling podcast guest, and I'm so excited.
I'm definitely excited. But, yeah, brother,
he pulls
we got
no
2 minutes left.
Takes no prisoners.
Nope, no prisoners, no punches. That's how we do it. And, man, hey, I'm going to have to get a hold of Hernandez a little bit after the show and see if we can get that set up for the July 20th show of the 25th anniversary of DBA.
Absolutely. And shout out to all our fellow podcasters. The Pro Wrestling Edge crew, Dan Bruin, and the Wrestling Rage crew, Cody Josh and Danny Beals. Shout out to you guys, man. Keep helping everybody enjoy the love of wrestling. And thank you to Martez, man, for all your hard work, especially at the beginning of the show. Ran into some problems. My man saved the day like he always does.
He always saved the day. Without Martez, there would be no Open Talk Radio. There would be no Rated R Wrestling Podcast. There would be nothing without him and Martez.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. No
thank
doubt.
You
no
again, man, for all your
man.
Hard work.
Likewise, you guys are putting together great shows, man. And I'm not just saying this because I'm on air. I really mean it because you all are special, man. And, like, people haven't seen what you guys can really do, and it's going to be real soon where you guys are going to be on a whole nother level. Just wait and see. Because you got something special.
Man, but
I just like
really
to talk about wrestling,
that,
man.
That's what we do.
Yeah,
we do it the best, man, because that's how we do it. Three men, like they say in the beginning of the song, Greg and Martha, Southwest Texan, Day-Day Cruz, Greg, DeMarc, and Martez, we them dudes. That's how we do it.
That's what's up.
Absolutely. So, guys, this is the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. Greg DeMarc, my co-host, my brother all the time. And my brother, Martez, this has been the Rated R Wrestling Podcast 313. We love you guys. Stay tuned for the Gorilla Position.
Wrestling podcast.